On to page 111. This may seem straightforward, but it's not exactly being done in this way at present. There is a form of grants register that tends to be about, I've seen it actually, but it tends to be about grants that we've won and about acquitting them, whereas the intent of this is to have elected members with sight of anticipated grants so that we can A, ensure they fit in with our strategy, and B, where we can contribute local information which we may have, which staff may not have. I'm happy to invite Deputy Mayor Pfeiffer to move it if he wishes.
Yeah, thank you, Worship. I'll happily move this as written.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull?
Mayor, I think the other aspect is that in the past there's been a few surprises where matters have come to Council for approval to provide funding after the administration had secured a grant. In other words, it was preemptive of the administration to get the grant money, and it's hard then for the Council to say no, because they've already got the grant, and whether we like it or not, there's an expectation you will proceed because the community knows you've got the grant. You know, I think that for us to have the bottle on this is important, so we know what has been applied for, and maybe even get our approval for grants to be applied for, so they do fit our strategic direction and they do match the strategic plan.
Councillor Ho, you'd remember the history of Living Ghana Cultural Centre. That's probably the best example of all, isn't it?
Well, I signed off on that grant application as chair of that project, and I'm not sure if I've missed something with that particular one. There seemed to be reasonable ownership of the council with that, and all kudos to Dr. Southcott for going out of his comfort zone as a Liberal MP and applying for that Federation funding. But a good example is the Morphville Park Netball Club, where out of the blue, suddenly there's a proposal to put the lights in, and then we find out the grant had been applied for and secured from the Department of Sport and Recreation. Sadly, you know, those lights are now about to be taken down only a few years later, but it's not good practical use of money, and I think we as a council need to have ownership not only of our monies, but we are all taxpayers and we are using taxpayers' money as well, obviously in partnership with the state or federal government, and we need to be just as responsible with that money as we are with our own. And because good money can go after bad, Mr. Mayor, and we all know how that might have happened. But I'm interested to know what your reflection is of the Ghana Cultural Centre.
Thanks. I'll take that as rhetorical. Anyone? An amendment? Yes. Councillor Shilley?
First time moving an amendment. So wondering if there's a way that we can add in a point that includes grants that community groups have applied for but have had to seek landowner consent forms from us. For example, community grassroots football, netball and cricket grant that ORSR has recently just closed. Groups are required to get a land consent form from council. So is there a way that we can include that so that we can see what Mitchell Park has applied for, if they have, or Cove, etc., etc.?
I must say the intention was to keep a site of what council is applying for. Just clarifying, Councillor Shilling, if you're talking about grants that clubs are going for, if landlord consent is required, then it does come to council for approval before, well, certainly at some point. Can you just clarify a little bit more about how you see
sure.
that working?
So, for example, the current grant is just closed regarding community grassroots football, netball and cricket, which was a replacement to the Female Facilities Program grant. It's a 50-50 through OR, so dollar for dollar. So, if, example, Cove applied for 200 grand, then council would be expected to, or they'd be expected to find 200 grand from elsewhere. And in their application process, they have to include a landowner consent form signed by the council saying that we give approval for this application and state whether they have money or there's no money allocated at the moment or there's the provision of money in the future.
I suppose that's what I was saying. In those cases where it's landlord consent, we do get to know about them because we have to. But I'll ask Ms Dixon to comment in case...
Through the Chair, just for clarification, if the amount is over $20,000, it will come to Council. But, you know, with any works, it needs our landlord consent and it should go through our land and property area.
When you say over 20 grand, so even if they haven't applied, it has to come to Council for approval for the grant application?
Even if they haven't applied, what
so
do you mean?
For example, if I use a work scenario, recently a football club came to us seeking a support letter, we've written that, but council weren't forthcoming, so we helped trying to get the landowner consent form. Landowner consent form was signed, but it didn't have to go to the chamber for approval, and they included that form in their application.
So that would be the case if the value was less than $20,000, by what Ms Dixon's saying?
Through the Chair, that's correct.
Yeah, look, I think it's one of those things where it's difficult to amend on the spot, but I appreciate what you're trying to do there. It could be something that we, if this can be established, we can administratively just add it on. I mean, there's no conflict with administration on this. It's just jogging them along to ensure that we have sight of these things. But I suspect any reasonable clarification or addition will probably be included. If you're happy with that, yep. All right, then I'll just ask Councillor Pfeiffer if he wishes to close the debate.
No, that's fine, Your Worship.
I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Carried unanimously, thank you. On to the next one, page 113. It came up earlier in discussion tonight. As I said, the advice that I received and Ms McKenzie received was that in these circumstances it was better for the DPA to go through. So I think when the Office of Local Government suggests that, it's generally not wise to go your own way. So I'll leave that. Would you like to move it, Councillor Gard?
I don't think it needs much qualification. It is all a matter of timing.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, thank you. Anyone against? Put the motion, all those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. Waste and recycling, bin collection magnets. I think this is a popular choice. Councillor Pfeiffer, would you like to move that way?
I'm happy to. I'm seeing other hands flying up in the air, but happy to, yes.
Oh, well, you're only Deputy Mayor for a year if you want to move it.
Yes, I'd like to.
To speak to it?
No, thank you, Your Worship. Makes perfect sense.
Is that seconded, Councillor Valescu? Wish to speak to it? Anyone against? Councillor Telfer?
I'm actually concerned about the number of magnets that are actually going into the waste stream by us doing that.
Fair enough. Anyone else in favour? Councillor Crossland.
I was going to suggest maybe we could use a reusable magnet from one year to the next, but I think that just might complicate it.
It's complicating the motion. A question or speaking against, Councillor Fancy?
I just don't quite understand what the purpose of the calendar is. Everyone knows what day their bins are collected. And if you're unsure if it's the yellow or the green, just check it, and it'll be half full if it's that week or full, or you go out on the street. So I'm quite confused about it. But and also, backing up Raylene, it's another wasted material.
I appreciate the common sense of what you've put, but I must say I've experienced a lot of community reaction because people like their calendar on their fridge. And... they certainly missed it when we slipped the calendar into a page without a magnet of the pre-Christmas city limits, there was a reaction, and the motions in response to that. Councillor Vesk has already had an opportunity. Well, that includes questions. Is anyone speaking else? Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Gard.
I'm in the same boat as you, Your Worship. I do have my own personal frustrations, but I hear others. I think particularly that and the hard rubbish issue is one that we can do better with.
Anyone else speaking against? Councillor Pryor.
Just a question. Are we looking at the booklet, or are we looking at just a calendar with yellow and green squares on it?
What's anticipated there is a DL size, like a postcard, a long postcard, commonly used by the politicians who want to do an annual calendar with their face on it, rather than the booklet style we've had in previous years.
Thank you. Yes.
Because that's now clear. That there's been a thorough waste education booklet go out across council, if indeed that's followed up with incoming ratepayers getting such a booklet, then that kind of element of it is resolved, and all that's required is a simple calendar. That's the reasoning behind the motion. So, no other speakers. Councillor Pfeiffer, anything to add?
No, thank you, Your Worship.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Rightio, we'll move along to page 116. The Mayor's on a bit of a roll here. So this does have a cost attached. It talks about existing budgets for this year. Basically, we have a residence kit. It's online. We don't push it. So, and I must say, it was in the last council term. I give credit to the dearly departed Councillor Byram, who's quite passionate about having a residence kit to be distributed to people. But having it stuck on the website, on the internet somewhere, doesn't suit most of our residents, according to the feedback I received. Councillor Pfeiffer, you wish to move?
Yeah, happy to swing at that pitch as well.
Seconded, Councillor Hull.
Yeah, happen to second this. This does make sense, particularly for the new residents to feel as if they're welcome and part of a new community. Hopefully the fridge calendar will be part of this as well, as part of the induction process for the City of Marion. In seconding this and supporting the previous motion, Mr. Mayor, I just hope that none of these items distributed feature any self-promotion for any particular elected member. So I just want to underline that point, that they are what they are. They're just advice messages for our new residents, and you mentioned before that politicians are always putting out these DL-sized magnets to put on fridges. I just hope that it is just about the City of Marion and nothing else.
I must admit I hadn't anticipated there would be any elected members portrayed on the waste magnet, you have given me I'll leave it up to the communications team, but if they want to put a photograph of the Mayor, I think in light of your comments it should be suitably sized, not overshadowing the rest of the information. Thank you. It's moved and seconded. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Pryor?
Can I just ask a related question? Do we keep an email database of our residents?
I was discussing this today with some of the staff, that the fact that we don't really have a very good CRM or database that's useful for consultation. We have a complaints database of customer requests, but other than that, it's simply the ratepayer's role, which is pretty well name and address. So
So the follow-up question is why we half do this? I mean, we're looking to put this looks like we're looking to keep an email register of our new residents, but not our existing residents, because I'm sure there's a large proportion of our existing residents who work on email all the time who would prefer to get email notifications of rates, bills, or anything else, even city limits.
Would you be kind enough to work on a suitable motion?
I can work on a suitable motion.
And not right now.
For another meeting? Yes.
Yeah, please do.
Sure.
Because it is the next step in community engagement, really.
And definitely.
As I say, we discussed it in passing today, but it's certainly a project that's worth pursuing. And it's not about promotion, it's just, as you say, although I think we still have probably a majority who prefer a lot of this information about council and waste in hard copy, there's an increasing number of people, and just about everyone I know under 30, who wants it electronically. So we're only just catching up with getting out the basic information at all, but once we do that, we should be conscious of doing it electronically as well as hard copy. So let's take that up.
And this would contribute to our cost-saving program.
And it will. That's right. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. It's on the same line. Look, this has got an ongoing cost. I don't want to make an amendment, but could staff proactively look at the email option first and maybe keep those emails on records? Because if we want to do the marketing and making people feel welcome, it's nice to be able to follow up with an email with any feedback since they've lived in the City of Marion, rather than just send this out by mail.
I firmly believe that is part of the community engagement of the future. So I'm happy. In fact, any member who wants to run past some suggestions with me, let's work on a motion to bring to council accordingly. Thank you. If there's no one really speaking against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 117, amendment to verge guidelines. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, I'll draw your attention to page 117, where I've provided a bit of background about the justification for the change there and the reasons why artificial turf in the past has not been considered suitable. Certainly I subscribe to that view at one point. However, there have been examples that I can point to where it does actually make logical sense. And if you look at the top of page 118, my preface of all of this is that let's see green over grey. And I'd prefer that to be real green over artificial, but there are circumstances where legitimately real turf isn't an option. And the example that's been brought to my attention was from a resident who was trying to do the right thing in everything he does, and spoke to council about a verge in front of his property, wanting to put artificial turf down because the trees overshadow a very narrow verge. So if you look at page 120, I've got some examples there, 120 and 121. The top left of 120 is a great example of that, and his verge is just adjacent, this screenshot that I've provided. Very narrow verge. It's got trees overshadowing that small verge, but he wants to make it a bit greener. Currently, it's a dolomite-type verge, and quite rightly, it's pretty drab. And if you look at the examples across the city that I've provided, I've chosen a few different suburbs there, you can see that really it doesn't leave us a good street effect. And at 121, you can see in the distance there of the next property what green does to a streetscape. I think we can all appreciate that. So members, really, I guess the approach that I'd like to see us take is that, hey, there are many examples across the city. I was just talking to one of my co-councillors earlier this evening, and there's plenty of examples of where artificial turf already exists. People have gone and done it without approval. You know, they take ownership of it. They feel it's part of their property almost, although it's not. They're taking pride in their street. So I'm sort of leaning towards, hey, let's create a policy adjustment that gives us some way to manage that. So you've seen examples there around temperature control and water flooding and all sorts of things. Dolomite isn't actually a great example of water-sensitive urban design in my mind, and certainly the temperature of plastic, well, if it's in the sun, sure, it's going to get hot, but so does the road and so does the footpath. So, look, members, I'm taking a practical approach to this, and hopefully you'll see the sense in it as well.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, look, I'll happily second this. And similar to Councillor Hutchinson, I've also changed my opinion on this matter. I've also been approached by someone in the community about this as well. Look, there are already places out there, houses out there that do have this. Some of it predates the verger's policy, and in other places it's where it's been done without asking permission. And honestly, look, when you look at it, when you look at examples of this within the City of Marion where it has been professionally and well installed, it doesn't look that offensive really. And I think it is nicer to have the green over the grey, as the nice little catchphrase that Councillor Hutchinson has there. Look, yes, it is hotter than natural lawn. Yep, gravel's probably similar sort of temperature, and it's probably a hell of a lot better than bitumen that I see in some verges that we have in the City of Marion as well. Look, my only stipulation in regard to this, and in speaking with Councillor Hutchinson prior to this ever coming to Council, was that, look, it, as long as we're absolutely clear that the purchase, installation and maintenance is at the property owner's cost. If a service provider, whether it be Telstra, electricity, whatever, water, if they need to go through there and rip it up, then it's at the property owner's cost that gets reinstated and maintained and properly and professionally done. As long as that's done, it's actually really quite nice to see a bit of green on the side of the road.
Anyone speaking against? Councillor Masika.
Through the chair, you know, I take note of the effort with the Councillor Hutchinson wants to beautify our streets, but I think we needed to get up an expert report about the impact or the effects of those artificial turfs can cause to the environment. I know they have been made up from chemicals and heavy metals, and there's overwhelming research which is around the world which showing up the negative effects of ill health caused by the chemicals and the decomposition of the chemicals when contaminated with the rainwater and the water being used, water used by the people. So I was going to suggest before we change up the policy and allow people to just put them on our streets, it's better we get up some expert opinion. And also we take a step to make sure that we don't become the first council. I've never had any council which is approved. It's massive that people that can just come and do and apply those at future touch. So at this point, is to seek for the professional.
Councillor, maybe you'd like to move a procedural motion then to adjourn this to the April meeting, in which time more research can be done. Is that what you'd like to do?
Absolutely, the Chair. That's what I'm trying to suggest.
All right. Moved that it be adjourned to the April meeting. Is that seconded, Councillor Vlescu? Procedural. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? I declare that to be a tie. In cases where there has been some concern expressed, I think it's reasonable in a matter that's not urgent for there to be a slight delay, so I'll cast my vote in the affirmative as well. I'll declare the procedural motion passed and we adjourn to the meeting in April. The only remaining matter is to note the question on notice that was asked by Councillor Hutchinson, and I declare the meeting closed.
Excuse me, Mr Mayor,
a point of order, Councillor Hull. It's after 9:30.
It's after 9:30. Oh, well, okay.